There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are going to get some more detail now on our top story of the morning, and that is the stimulus package and reforms announced by Abu Dhabi by the Crown Prince. We are joined on the line by Trevor McFarlane, who is the founder of EMIR, the think tank. Trevor, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brandy. It's great to be speaking with you. I hope you're well.
I'm very well and very interested in what is happening down the road in Abu Dhabi. What do you make of all this then?
Obviously, very interesting move. I think it's actually something that we had expected in many ways. If you look at the micro signals that have been coming out of Abu Dhabi for quite some time. So if you paint the backdrop for your listeners, obviously mid-2014, the oil prices start to fall. And Abu Dhabi, which historically has a record of being quite pro-cyclical, meaning when the oil price falls, they pull back on some of their spending, and that's what we saw. And then over the last 6 months or so, what we've been watching and seeing is, as I say, these micro signals coming out of Abu Dhabi to see that they've streamlined a lot of elements of their economy. If you look at some of the mergers that have taken place, and now especially over the last few months, what you're seeing is Abu Dhabi is now ready for the next chapter. It feels comfortable that the oil prices are at an acceptable level, and now it's about stimulating the economy, because in many ways Abu Dhabi is a government-led economy. So when the leaders in Abu Dhabi decide to make this kind of stimulus, it has a real and direct impact on the economy. And if you look, as I say about these micro signals, if you look over recent months, you've had the concessions, the oil concessions from ADNOC. You've had ADNOC announcing plus investment with partnerships with partners up to $45 billion. You have Etihad reviewing its strategy. You have Aldar actually taking over a lot of the assets of TDIC. So clearly they've streamlined and they've done what they want to do. And now it's about investing in the economy to get things moving, because consumption has been very soft in Abu Dhabi.
So which do you see out of the 10 initiatives that have been announced as having the biggest impact, first off, the quickest impact, if you like?
Look, I think in terms of the overall, the way I would see it is, in a government-led economy, it really comes down to this investment. If you're talking about $13.5 billion and the allocations happening within the next 90 days, we really have to see how quickly that can take place and to what extent or how long it actually takes to trickle down into the economy. Because when we talk to lots of our members, the CEOs in our network, if you look particularly on the consumption side in Abu Dhabi, and you, for big ticket investments or big ticket purchases, whether it's real estate, cars, it's all been very soft. And that's primarily being driven by the weak or soft population growth in Abu Dhabi, as lots of people actually left as the economy was streamlined. Now what you're going to see, so in my view, the most important aspect of this is, as this investment is ramped up, you're going to see that population growth pick up again in Abu Dhabi, and that feeds into consumption. If you look at the overall health of Abu Dhabi's economy, it's in very good shape in terms of the natural resources, the huge amount of actual wealth it has in its sovereign wealth fund, has a small population, it has very wise leadership. So all of this leaves Abu Dhabi in a very good position now to move forward, to make the investments that need to really stimulate that consumption side of the picture. I think when you look at it from an investment perspective, clearly Abu Dhabi is beginning this process of moving and shifting more towards trying to create a more sophisticated manufacturing base, industrialize the economy. I think this is the future direction of where Abu Dhabi is going.
Trevor, good morning to you.
Morning, Malcolm. Great to hear your lovely voice this morning.
One of the things that jumped out at me, Sheikh Mohammed ordering provision of at least 10,000 jobs for Emiratis in the private and public sector. Absolutely fantastic. Cash flow. A lot of companies struggling with cash flow. And Sheikh Mohammed wants to accelerate the settlement of due payments on contracts for the private sector. And the other thing that really jumped out at me was that he's ordered the issuance of dual licenses for companies in Abu Dhabi free zones to enable them to work outside the free zones and to participate in government government tenders. I know it's early days yet, but I guess a lot of the free zone companies will be foreign owned, and a lot of the onshore companies will be owned by Emiratis. Do you see a potential clash there, that people working in free zones will be able to compete on the same level as Emirati companies based onshore Abu Dhabi?
I think this is part of the overall narrative that we're hearing more broadly in the UAE, particularly when you look at around the 100% foreign ownership. I think how all of this plays out, specifically to your question, will remain to be seen. But I clearly, what is happening at the highest levels or the highest levers of influence and power in the country is that they want to make the UAE an easier place to do business, and they want to make it, give it that little bit more of an entrepreneurial zip, which speaks to your point around these reforms that they're talking about. But overall, what's going to happen in the medium to long term around free zones is a very interesting point, because as we spoke about and you guys so eloquently spoke about with regards to 100% foreign ownership, it calls into question the very, obviously the devil is in the detail, but it calls into question the very purpose and objective of free zones in the first place. If we're going to have 100% foreign ownership, to what extent that actually takes place is another debate and another conversation. But I think more broadly, there clearly the signal is that we want to make it easier for businesses in the UAE, which can only be a good thing. Now, whether that causes friction with the onshore companies, we'll have to wait and see how that pans out.
Trevor, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Trevor McFarlane of EMEA, we appreciate your time and insights.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.